If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Kevin Muscat emerges as the favourite to take over at Rangers, but when would he be able to start, and could Neil McCann serve as interim in the meantime? And Derek McInnes says he's only focused on Hearts as he picks up the Manager of the Month award. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL.
Yeah, we just wonder if we're getting closer to a Ranger permanent manager, Andrew. A big rumours going about that Kevin Muscat seems to be the lad and favourite front runner. With Neil McCann coming in as assistant manager, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't think they're going to have a manager in the dugout by the weekend against Dundee United at Ibrox, but things are moving along. You just wonder what the Rangers fans think of it. He's been at Ibrox before as a player, manager record very, very good. He looks like he's in charge in China to go and win another title. But the stumbling block for me is, when is he going to be in the dugout if they're going to go and appoint him? I think Rangers need a manager now. It's not like they've got off to a great start, i.e. why Russell Martin was removed from his post. So they need a manager and they need to start winning games and climbing the table.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think timing's everything. And Kevin Muscat, like you said there, he's on his way to winning a championship title in China. But if he wants a Rangers job, I think Rangers should be saying to him, then you come now. It's one of those things, you have to make the decision. You know, Rangers board of directors can only care about their football club and not what's going on elsewhere. And, you know, if it's a job that he wants, and I think he does have to come in instantly. I agree with Gordon. You know, they need somebody to come in now and to hit the ground running. It's still a long, long time to go in the season. But if you're going to be waiting 3 or 4 weeks for someone and you know, you're going to have someone else come in as interim for that amount of time, I don't think that's ideal, considering the situation that Rangers are in.
Yeah, when Russell Martin was sacked 7 or 8 days ago, 8 or 9 days ago, whatever it was, did you think that we would get to the Tuesday, not too far away from the Saturday games, the Premiership returning, and there's still to be names being thrown out there, still speculation, Rangers not having the right man in the dugout, having not even announced an interim team at this point?
No, honestly, I didn't, because I think that the Rangers bore through all their eggs in one basket with Steven Gerrard. I think that they thought that could have been a done deal. I think even the fans thought there's a great opportunity. He would have been in the dugout by now, as in by Saturday, for a Dundee United game. And it's sort of backfired on them. It's left them chasing about now. Muscat seems to be the favourite, as we hear, but you never know, especially with Rangers as well. But the sooner the better. And I agree with Marv. Rangers have got to look after their own business here. They've not got off to the greatest start in the league. They're chasing already. They're well behind Hearts and Celtic. They've got to get a manager in as soon as possible. They cannot wait about to see a manager. Okay, then, your season finishes in the 22nd of November. You would need to just put it to them, we need a manager. We need a manager now, and we need to start winning games.
Derek McInnes picking up the Manager of the Month award for the second consecutive month. Of course, he was asked about speculation about his future as he was going to be. We'll get on to that, but it just shows the great start that Hearts have had, that once again Derek McInnes is standing up there receiving that award.
Yeah, fantastic start and really refreshing for the Scottish game, seeing somebody else at the top of the league. Adele went in during the summer, obviously after being at Kilmarnock. All the money, and you know, Tony Bloom going in and investing the money, and he came out and he spoke about could we split the big two, and a lot of people laughed at him. And so far it's been so good for Hearts. But yeah, listen, Derek McInnes and the staff have done a fantastic job, and you know, long may it continue. It pains me to say that as a Hibs supporter, but you know, I am enjoying somebody else being up there. And listen, some of the football they are playing at times and some of the players they brought into the Scottish League, you know, definitely a credit to the game.
0141 951 1025. Pretty simple questions for you Rangers fans. First of all, Kevin Muscat, is he the man you want to see come in and replace Russell Martin? And then what do you make of the situation with him in his job at the moment? Because he's currently in charge of Shanghai Port. They have four games left to go in their league season. They're top of the league by 2 points, but that title race could spread out all the way to the 22nd of November. So is that an appointment that Rangers can wait about for? What happens in the meantime if that is going to happen? Or do Rangers need to make a decision this week? Does there need to be a permanent manager in the dugout for Ibrox Dundee United on Saturday, 3 o'clock? 0141 951 1025. Maybe you are a Hearts fan and want to speak about Derek McInnes. We'll hear from him a bit later on after he picked up the Manager of the Month award. It's been a pretty quiet international break for Celtic, hasn't it, Gordon?
Yeah, they've been under the radar a little bit. They'll be looking forward to the game on Sunday up at Dens against Dundee, going up well favourites to go and win that one. Yeah, they've sort of went a quiet couple of weeks in the international break, and it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back, because they've not hit the peaks that Celtic are used to playing at. So it'll be really interesting for Celtic fans. They'll be looking for a big improvement in performances.
0141 951 1025. That Premiership action, the return to league action, is getting closer. So any thoughts ahead of that? 0141 951 1025. Maybe you still want to reflect on the international break and what happened with Scotland as well. Happy to take some calls on that. 0141 951 1025. Just looking at the Kevin Muscat story, we've mentioned his name many times so far in the show. The name that we haven't really mentioned is Neil McCann. There's some speculation going around that Neil McCann could potentially be Kevin Muscat's assistant. Could he potentially come in early and be an interim manager for that period? Is that something you could see working? The two of them obviously know each other from having played at Rangers together.
It could. Obviously, Neil's been in there with, been part of the backroom staff with Barry Ferguson, Billy Dodds and McGregor. So he knows the players, he knows the way they operate, he knows everything about them. As you get a good relationship with Muscat, that's important as well. I just think that you run a risk, and no disrespect, you put young coaches in there to go and basically, you know, get a result against a good Dundee United team. I know that their form's been up and down, but they've still got good players. They'll come to Ibrox full of confidence. Jim Goodwin doing a great job up there. I just think it's a bit unfair. I think they need a little bit of experience in that dugout, because I keep going back to it. I don't think Rangers can keep losing ground in Hearts and Celtic, because you will never make that up. It's difficult than now, and we're only, what, coming up into November very shortly, but it's got to start improving quickly.
Rangers' managerial hunt has been complicated enough, hasn't it, over the past week or so. This would further complicate things, wouldn't it, if Kevin Muscat hypothetically agreed to become Rangers manager but said he would only do it after the Chinese season finished. You look at Rangers fixtures, see in between now and when Kevin Muscat would be available if he stayed till the end of the season: Dundee United at home, Bran away, Kilmarnock at home, Hibs away, Celtic in that League Cup semi-final, Roma at home, Dundee away, Livingston at home, and then straight into a game against Braga.
Oh, he doesn't fancy
League.
A Livingston game, does he?
Doesn't fancy that one.
That's why he's the one I'm putting down.
He'll be straight in for that one, won't he? Oh, Kevin Muscat's in the stadium. What?
No, but listen, I think it creates massive difficulties, you know, with, say it is Neil McCann or whoever it is. If you haven't worked with the manager before, you know, you're going in for that period of time, not really knowing what the manager wants. It's all right being a player and, you know, playing on the same team as each other, but, you know, I just don't think it would really, really work. I don't think that's something that Rangers would want to look at either. You know, having an assistant come in first and foremost for, was it 6 or 7 games, and the manager comes in after that? Because if you make a terrible start, all of a sudden the manager's under pressure of actually even being there. You make a fantastic start, the fans are probably thinking, we don't actually need you. So, yeah, I think, you know, the manager has to come in with his assistant manager. I just don't think that's going to work, and it gets a little bit too messy for me.
She's a club, Marv. You put yourself under severe pressure. If you're prepared to sit back and say, right, okay, he's now our number one priority, we will wait to November, 22nd November. You could be well gone by then, because you mentioned those games. You could be out the cup. You're not in a cup final. You've got a good chance against Celtic. You've got a lot of hard league games there. You could be right down the pecking order, and Europe could be a thing of the past. You cannot run that risk.
Is there an argument that if Rangers feel he is the best long-term option for the club, that would it be worth taking a potential short-term hit? Look, it may be an interim comes in, whoever that may come in and do a good job. But
surely the best long-term manager, though, is somebody who's going to come in straight away, because he has a passion to want to do it now. He has the hunger and desire to go into the football club, whatever football club it is, and make a real difference. I think, you know, if you're somebody who's sitting there and saying, I'll take the job, but I'll be there in 6 or 7 weeks, then you're probably not the right person for the job. I think Rangers need somebody who's willing to drop everything at this moment in time and make Rangers their priority, because they've had a bad enough start. They've had the takeover, which was absolutely fantastic. Russell Martin came in. We all know how that ended with the results, etc. I think if Rangers are sitting top of the league, it's a lot easier for the fans to swallow, say, okay, do you know what? We're waiting 7 or 8 weeks for our man. But I think when in a position they're in, as Gordon said there, with the massive fixtures they have coming up, this manager needs to show that Rangers are the priority and come in, because if he doesn't do that, then he comes in after 6 or 7 weeks and has a bad start to it. Rangers fans can be ready to turn on him as well, and rightfully so. I think a manager, you want the job, you come in right now.
But the big thing about this is we're not sitting here discussing the number one choice. Steven Gerrard would have probably got the job if he'd agreed to it. So it's not like you're sitting there going, it's worth the 7 or 8 weeks waiting for him to come in, because he wasn't even your number one choice. Mm-hmm. So you've got to really put the onus onto him to say, look, okay, we're wanting you to come in, we want you to take the reins, but it has to be in our terms, it has to be now.
Does it also look as if there's been a change of tact from the Rangers board as well? Because everyone knows Steven Gerrard was the front runner, he was the favourite to get the job. He decided to step away from the process. All the other names that had been mentioned, certainly around that time at the start, was Danny Rowe. A lot of the other managers were, you know, Michael Carrick, Kieran McKenna, guys that had been in the English Championship. The optics of that weren't great, Rangers fans would tell you, because of where Russell Martin came from. Kevin Muscat didn't really seem to become a contender until, you know, over the weekend, maybe until after Steven Gerrard knocked back the job, as far as we're aware. Does that seem as if there's maybe been a change of tact from the Rangers board? Have they looked at the reaction potentially of guys like Danny Rowe and thought, well, maybe they need to go for someone more experienced?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, Rangers would have had a list of candidates who they would have wanted. And just because the media or we weren't privy to it doesn't mean that Muscat wasn't on that list all along. You're right, it's come into the public domain now after Steven Gerrard's turned it down. But I'm pretty sure they've not looked on social media and said, you know, Dave, who works in the local Tesco's, doesn't want Danny Rowe to come in as the manager, so we're going to go for somebody else. I think, they'd be a lot more professional and, you know, they've looked a lot deeper into things than that. Again, Danny Rowe, a name that you mentioned, I've heard nothing but good things about him. You know, a couple of my mates have been managed by him and speak extremely highly of him, and he only left Sheffield Wednesday because of the problems they had there. But if it's to be Kevin Muscat, I'm sure they've done their due diligence on him and, you know, they've been looking at him for a long enough time.
But would any potential manager already be on the back foot if there is that, you know, ill feeling towards a manager that's been tagged because they managed in the English Championship? Is it maybe easier for a Kevin Muscat or someone of that mould who maybe has a bit more favour with the Rangers supporters? Is that something that the board would take into consideration at all, given what happened with Russell Martin?
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I really do, Andrew, because I think their safety net was Steven Gerrard, because they were under a lot of pressure to get the next one right. But the good thing about that appointment, if it ever had to go down the road, which it's not, is the fact that the Rangers fans want him. The majority of Rangers fans would have liked to see the return, but he's knocked it back. I think it puts a bit of pressure on them. I really do, because they cannot, as a board, afford to get this wrong. They really can't, and there's no guarantees, no matter, and Marv will tell you, no matter who you bring into the building, whether it's a player, whether it's a manager, a coach, there's no guarantees whatsoever. They're under a little bit of pressure now to make sure they get this spot on.
At what point do you feel Rangers fans maybe need clarity in terms of who's going to be in the dugout this Saturday?
Now? I think it needs to come, you know, as soon as possible. And that makes me think that, you know, potentially our Rangers trying to get the new manager in place before the weekend. Because they've not come out, as far as I'm aware, to say who's in interim charge.
No, they tweeted, I think, was it last week at one point, essentially saying that training was being taken by Stephen Smith, Brian Gilmore, Reece Owen and Sal Bibbo, a couple of guys who were brought in with Russell Martin, but have never officially said anything about who would be an interim charge come this
weekend. We've seen this before, Andrew. We've seen it the last time with Rangers, right? And they got it totally wrong. They put, is it Dave McCallum? the lad?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they put David in charge against, was it Hibs at Hampden? And it was an absolute disaster. Not for the lad's fault. You know what I mean? He should never have been put in that situation. This could be the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're playing Dundee United. Dundee United, okay, the biggest advantage to that is that you're at home. So you're thinking, right, okay, we can maybe take care of that because we'll be favourites to go and win the game. But you're still putting a lot of pressure on these young guys. These young guys, I know they had good careers. Stephen Smith had a good career and a really, really good player. But he's never coached or made decisions at that level. He's never dealt with players at that level, international players. So I think it's, and especially because of, I don't think Rangers can start to say, right, okay, if they drop a couple of points at the weekend, it's okay, there's still plenty of time to make up. Hearts and Celtic are going into the distance. So it puts a lot of pressure on these young coaches. And I think that's a little bit unfair just now. So I think Rangers really need to get somebody with a wee bit of experience, whether it is a Neil McCann who knows the players, knows the clubs, worked in the last few months of the season with Barry Ferguson, Billy Dodds with them. Even if it's someone like that, he's been a manager before himself. So he's been there, he's stood in the shoes. I think they need something better than just, you know, Stephen Smith and a couple of young coaches in the dugout at the weekend. I don't think that'd be a good fit.
Because the pressure then intensifies even further. Gordon talks about, you know, potentially dropping further behind the likes of Hearts and Celtic in the league. Rangers then go into Europa League action, have already lost two of the opening Europa League games. If you go into it, the situation with the manager hasn't been sorted, question marks hanging over things, and if Rangers don't get a result away to Brann next Thursday, then the Europa League campaign might even be over before it's got going yet.
Yeah, and exactly that, you know, and that's not a position that Rangers board wants to find themselves in, and obviously, you know, Rangers supporters. So that's why I think it's essential that they come out and they address the support and tell them exactly what's going on in terms of who's going to be managing first and foremost for Saturday and when they expect a new manager to come in. Because if it's not going to be this Saturday, I think Rangers fans will take it a lot better the earlier they know and say, listen, but the new manager will be announced before, you know, the European game. But at this moment in time, everyone's kind of in the dark. And I agree with Gordon, it's a really, really difficult situation for the people who are currently taking it. You know, like you said, Rangers haven't started well enough at all. The fans have shown how upset they've been with what Russell Martin and the players have done. But for me, the players have got off lightly in terms of where the anger's been directed. Now Russell Martin's gone, that's going to now turn to the players. So they're going to need somebody experienced to guide them. And if what Russell Martin was saying was true, and there's a nervousness and anxiety from the players when they go out and step out on that pitch, they need somebody experienced in the dugout who's able to guide them through it and potentially pick up 3 points at the weekend.
Well, that's a taste of what Gordon and Marvin think of the Rangers' managerial situation. But more importantly, we want to hear what you think. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, would you like to see Kevin Muscat get the job? What does it mean for the next few weeks if he can only take the job after the 22nd of November, once the Chinese season finishes? What about Neil McCann? Should he be the man to come in and maybe take interim charge, maybe be Kevin Muscat's assistant? Is there another name you'd rather see take over the Ibrox dugout? 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, taking your calls all the way through to 8 o'clock. So pick up the phone, 0141 951 1025, and you two have been warned to be nice and positive tonight, because I've just opened up Twitter and there's a headline saying David Martindale says he's sick, capital letters, of YouTubers and podcasters telling managers where they're going wrong. So it's all positivity for the rest of the night
from here on in.
We're not YouTubers your... though.
Hey, Dave working in Tesco 2 months ago. That's what I thought you meant. So are we doing in Tesco now?
0141 951 1025. Nadim is a Rangers fan in Livingston. Nadim, Kevin Muscat, is he the man for you, or is it another direction you feel Rangers need to go in?
Hi Andrew, thanks for my call, Marvin and Gordon. I'm not convinced about Muscat. I just think, see the wider point I was going to make, Andrew, was around why does Stephen Gerrard not take the job, right? So for me, it's quite clear for me, reading in between the lines, Stephen Gerrard's had a meeting with the guys, and this nonsense about it's not the right time. You don't travel halfway across the world to have a meeting in London to, you know, if you're not ready to take the job up. So for me, clearly, you know, Patrick Stewart or Thirlwell said, you know, they're making the signings, or they're running the club, and they're looking for a head coach. And Steve Gerrard doesn't want to be a head coach; he wants to manage the club. And I think that's what we need. I think we need a manager of the club. you know, going back to the likes of Steven Gerrard, Walter Smith, you know, these the guys that manage the full club, and it's not just being a head coach. Now, if that's what Farewell and Patrick Stewart want, then we won't get the right appointment. It will never happen because they all just want a head coach, a yes man. You know, if they will get the signings in, if they're not going to stick into the plans of the manager, then it's never going to be a productive arrangement. So for me, there's a bigger issue, and the bigger issue is that the hierarchy are obviously not going the same way as what managers want to go. Like Steven Gerrard's the clear kind of example of that. For me, Kevin Muscat, I'm not convinced with that. He was a Rangers player for a year. I'm no disrespect, you know, I'm sure he's doing well in China, but it's a different kettle of fish, you know, coming over and managing Rangers and, you know, managing in Europe as well. So for me, there's no standout candidate. You know, you talk about Danny Rowe, I get that. And as Marvin said, I'm sure he's got good reviews and people are saying he's this and he's that. I'm sure there's no doubt about that. I'm sure he's a good manager, but it's Russell Mann all over again, you know, in terms of an up and coming young manager. We need someone that's been there, tried and tested, who gets in that squad, because they're good players in that squad, Andrew. It's not a bad team. I'm not saying we're world beaters. It's a decent side. Somebody to get in there and get the boys winning. You know, so for me, as a Rangers fan all my life, going to the games, I'm just perplexed at the moment to see where do we go, who would take over.
Yeah, see Nadeem's point about Steven Gerrard, and there's certainly been speculation that possibly it is the structure and the way that Rangers are looking to do things, you know, with a head of recruitment and, you know, people in various different roles, sporting director. Is that the type of thing that, you know, would maybe scare some managers away or not want to take it, despite the fact that you look down south and you look on the continent, it's quite common these days that essentially a structure is built at a club and the head coach is just kind of slotted in there afterwards.
Yeah, listen, that's definitely something that can put a manager off if they want to be a manager rather than being a head coach. But one thing that Rangers fans were screaming out for before, especially when Philip Clement was manager, was that they wanted the structure behind it. That they now have that. And, you know, the board have obviously came in and they've hired people who they think are in the right positions to allow Rangers to go forward. And ultimately, with Russell Martin, they've got that decision wrong because it's the proof in the pudding. Lost, you know, too many games or dropped too many points, et cetera, et cetera. We all understand that. Not to have the Champions League. But that doesn't mean they rip it all up, you know. And if somebody wants to come into the football club and they're saying, I don't want to be a head coach, I want to be a manager, and, you know, the board aren't willing to budge on that because ultimately this was the right thing when they bought the football club. This is how they saw Rangers going forward. So they're well within their right to say, well, if you want to be a manager, this is not the right football club for you, because they can't rip it up for absolutely anybody, because ultimately if they do that for, say, it's Steven Gerrard and he comes in and it doesn't work, then they'll look at each other and say, well, why did we do that? We said the right thing to do was to have this structure and have a head coach. So they need to now stick with that. And listen, you're going to miss out on some targets, 100%. Nadine might be right. That might be the reason Steven Gerrard didn't come in. But that just means he wasn't right for Rangers, because that's the way the football club wants to be run. There's no right or wrong way. Like you said, a lot of clubs around the world are run exactly that way, with head of recruitments, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way Rangers want to go with it.
Yeah, I'm not privileged to that information, but I'm very surprised that Steven Gerrard is a very intelligent guy, would know the structure of Rangers Football Club.
You thought he could change that?
No, I don't think so. I think what you quite rightly said, new owners come in, and the first thing I think every Rangers fan wanted was the structure right. And Rangers started putting people in places and positions to get that structure. So I think Steven Gerrard would have known that. Of course he would have, even before he gets on that flight. I would be concerned why he knocked that job back, because when you see and listen to guys that probably would have come in as his backroom staff as well, they all seemed excited about the prospect of coming back to Rangers. And then all of a sudden, I think every Rangers fan thought that deal was over a line. I think Rangers board thought it would have probably been over a line. So I don't know if it's just as simple as saying, well, he wanted to be a manager instead of head coach. I think the modern day game, as you say, most of the clubs now are down to head coaches with the structure. Rangers are under new ownership. They brought in a structure. Before he even had a conversation, he would have known that structure. So I think there's something a little bit deeper to that.
Nadeem, just given what happened in the summer with Russell Martin's appointment, what's happened over this international break, do you have faith in the people at Rangers, the people running the club, that they will be able to make the right decision?
Gordon touched on it, and that's the point I was trying to make, Andrew, but there is something deeper. Gerrard's clearly met with Patrick Stewart and Kevin Farewell, and he thought to himself, do you know what? I can't work under these guys. I can't do it. That's the only thing that could have happened. There's no way he's travelled from the Middle East to London to meet with someone about taking the job and then say, oh, the timing is not right. There's nothing wrong with the timing. Everything was set. So he thought to himself, I can't work under these two guys. And that's what the issue is. So I've no faith that these two, because Kevin Thurles, I mean, he's been a guy who's been buying the players, right? Or part of that, of buying the players. And a lot of the players that we've got, I'm sorry to say, but are just not good enough at the moment. So for me, do I have faith in Thurles and Stewart making the right appointment? Absolutely not. That's why I'm saying that if I know Marvin's saying that you can't rip up the structure, I get that. But Marvin, when it's not working, and it's not worked for a long time, it's not worked since the guys took over. I know the owners have only been in charge for a little while, but they're not taking over a project here. They shouldn't have looked at Rangers and thought, this is a project, we can do this and we can do that. We're a massive club, and they should have known, as soon as they come in, they're under pressure straight away to get the right appointment. So for me, Kevin Thurles and Patrick Stewart are part of the problem here, in terms of that's why Steven Gerrard thought, I can't work for these guys, it's not happening.
Nadeem, how long have the new owners been in place? 4 months? 5 months?
A few months, yep.
Right, and you said it's not working for them. When was the last time it worked for Rangers? You let me know the last time it worked for Rangers under anybody, where you would say it was a real successful period for Rangers Football Club. How long ago was that?
Well, the season, a few years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was, when Rangers won the league under Steven Gerrard.
He
was the manager, Marvin, right? He controlled the club. He controlled the academy. He did all of that, right? And it worked well. We won the league, right? There was so much pressure on Steven Gerrard that season because he has to win it. He has to stop Celtic getting 10 in a row. And he did it, right? And
Rangers still had people in place, though, at that period, though. Ross Wilson was the sporting director, so it wasn't as if Steven Gerrard was doing absolutely everything himself.
I get that, but the point I'm trying to make, I suppose, sorry, I'm not making it eloquently, is that the working relationship, there's nothing wrong with having a sporting director in place. Of course there's not. Like you said, there's loads of clubs do it. But is Kevin Thurles the right man to be in that
position? He needs time to prove he's the right man. I mean, we're so quick in football now, like if something doesn't work 3 months, oh, that person's not good enough, that person's not good enough. If we're looking, you know, 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, you have to give them time to you know, make the changes they want to make at Rangers Football Club. Like you
sometimes
said,
sometimes you can buy a bit more patience, though, can't you? And the start to the
not,
season.
Not in this day and age.
So
you lose a game and it's gone. It's 3 months in football. They've made a massive change.
But it's been
in players.
So disastrous this first few months.
Of course it has.
You can understand why people are maybe questioning it already. Whereas, see if it had been kind of middle of the road for Rangers and they were up there, they were similar points with Celtic and Hearts, European campaign had gone okay, then there maybe wouldn't be as much pressure. But because it's gone so bad in the first few months, that's why the pressure's on there, rather than it being just a
timing. Do
you not
think you've got to ask the question? And I agree. You've got to ask the question. Rangers brought in, round about 13 players, Andrew? Would that be correct? Round about that. If you ask the question, how many have hit the ground running out of those 13 players?
Yeah.
So already the signs aren't good with the signings. Of course, it's early and it still takes time. A new manager might come in and just get a tune out of one or two, and you see difference in their play because they maybe be played in a different style of football, different position, whatever it may be. But you cannot sit here and say just now Rangers' transfer window in the summer has been positive, it's been good, because there's not a lot of them hit the ground running so far.
Well, thank you to Nadeem. What about Cameron in Bears Den? Cameron, would you like to see Kevin Muscat as the next Rangers head coach?
Good evening, panel. To be honest with you, I don't think it makes a difference who comes in as head coach right now. Gordon's just said there, none of the players hit the ground running. So we can get Jose Mourinho in tomorrow, and all that's going to happen is, and I think Rangers at the present moment, the last caller said decent, they are absolutely bang average. So that is a bang average team. So no matter who you get in, they've got bang average players. I've never known a club that's going to need a 22 player clear out. So to me, wait for Kevin Muscat. If that's who they want, wait for him, because it makes no difference who they get in at the present moment. The guy needs a January transfer window. Whether they're going to give him the money he needs, but I'll tell you now, he's a Rangers fan. I've never thought to myself, half of that team wouldn't get a game for Hearts. It used to be they wouldn't get a game for Celtic. Now you're looking going, see that certain Rangers players, the Hearts manager, McInnes, and the Hibs manager, they'd be looking at him going like that, I couldn't get a game with my team. They're no running, they're no working, they're no doing anything. So to me, You can get Alex Ferguson in there at the present moment in time. It makes no difference. They're bang average.
Is there not a single signing from the summer, Cameron, that's given you any sort
of... Kasama, come on. He's done well, but I agree with you, Cameron. I'm watching Rangers just now, and I look at a lot of the players, and I think, like you, they're very average. I don't see this team going 6, 7, 8, 9 games unbeaten, you know, running over the top of teams. I think Kasama's come in and showed in spells that he's a very good player. He's an exciting scorer, goals as well. But I can't really make a case out for a lot of them. So I'm agreeing with you slightly, Cameron.
So do you not rate Murphy?
I think it's early. I think he works.
It's early for all of them, yeah. This is the problem.
But I think he come in a little bit later. I think he works hard. Mm-hmm. He's got a goal against Falkirk. But am I looking at him thinking you're going to be the difference between Rangers being up there challenging or not? Not at all.
So if you take Celtic out of it, if you could pick one squad out of the remaining 11 teams to go in and manage today for a whole season, starting at the start of the season, what team are you taking?
On recent and current form?
No. What you Levy. Believe that you could...
I love your squad.
I'll be your assistant.
Get David to Tesco. Now he'll know what it's like to get criticised managers.
Cameron, you say it doesn't matter who comes in. Surely it must matter to some extent. Surely there are managers that could get a tune out of some of the players, no?
I don't mean it doesn't matter. Gordon at the start says, they're sort of contradicting each other. They say at the start, we need somebody in. But then Gordon says, out of 22 players, there's one of them that's doing well. So to me, does it matter if whoever come in tomorrow or 6 weeks? To me, the guy that should come in, if he comes in before the January transfer window, then it doesn't matter when he comes in.
Yeah, it does matter because as a new manager comes in, there might be a different style of football. There might be one or two tweaks in people's positions. And then all of a sudden, you can start getting a bit of confidence. People buy into it and you look a different team. We've seen it a million times before. Right now, I think everybody agrees they look very average, disjointed, don't look exciting. There's one or two good players there. The rest you're looking at, you're thinking, oh, they're quite average. But a new manager gives something different. He can get a tune out. We've seen a million managers going to clubs and then all of a sudden working with the same squad of players, you're thinking, oh, what a job this guy's doing, right? So there's no guarantees of that, right? There's no guarantees. But I think you need to get somebody in and out to try and get it going because you're 11 points behind Hearts, you're 9 points behind Celtic. You can't keep losing a ground.
Hearts are a perfect example, though. Derek McInnes going in there. How many of the new players are actually starting for them that weren't there last season? You know, it's not a massive turnaround for them. And look where Hearts were last season under Neil Critchley and look where they are now under Derek McInnes. So I think to say it doesn't make any difference is wider the mark, to say the least.
And is it a case of just the earlier, the better? No matter what Rangers have to play for this season, a lot of people will say that the league campaign's already done despite it being early, just with the sheer number of points Rangers would need to make up. There's still a Europa League campaign. There's still a big League Cup semi-final against Celtic. There's still the Scottish Cup. Is it a case of...
They're still crying. They need to turn it around. Yeah. These players need to turn around what's going on here. Now, Rangers sit where they sit in the league because ultimately they haven't been good enough. We spoke about it before. The one person that will lose their job is the manager. You can't change 20 players or whatever it is. So these players now need to make sure they go out there and they change whatever's going on. And listen, I've been in dressing rooms when it's happened before and Gordon said it just there. There's a change of manager and the boys are feeling like, you know, we need to actually do something now because the pressure's now on us. Because guess what? If this new manager goes in and the team's still struggling, then everyone's going to point the finger at the players, which hasn't been done as much as probably it should have been done under Russell Martin.
You can't sit in the 14th of October, Andrew, and say, right, okay, doesn't really matter now for Rangers. Just let the youth team coaches take the training, take the team at the weekend. They're in the semi-final of the first silverware he won. They're in the semi-final of it. They're still in Europe. They're sitting eighth in the league. You can't just dismiss it as quickly as that. You've got to get the manager in and he's got to, hopefully for everyone concerned at Rangers, get the right fit, get the right style, get the right system and get the tune out the players that were brought in until he gets to January and then see where it takes him.
Well, thanks to Cameron, 0141 951 1025. Keep those calls coming and while you do, I will tell you about this. Clyde One. It is a huge one as well. This week's Make Me a Winner has jumped to £580,000. To get 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Text are £10 plus your standard network rate. Offer £2.50 plus your standard network rate. You'll get 15 entries. You can text YES to 61025 for that. Or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are also charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this rail network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Do not miss out. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. And if you get the call, it's as easy as just answering it. That is it. And £580,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account in time for the weekend. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley waiting to hear from you on Clyde One.
Before we get to the serious stuff here, I cannot believe he's just looked in that YouTube screen and he started doing his hair.
I did not.
Yes, you did. I did not. I want that recorded. I saw you do it. It must have been a hair out of place. He's like, yeah.
We need to get that clipped up. That is that just like a permanent distraction for you that we have the stream running in front of us so you can just look at yourself the full time?
I'm not looking at myself. I've not even glanced here once. Sorry,
oh, please get that clipped up.
We need to get
up.
That clipped up to see whether you were admiring yourself in the stream, fixing your hair.
Wait till next break and the hair dry in the comb.
Right, you can tell us on Twitter if Gordon DL was trying to fix his hair, making sure it looks guy. Good for the YouTube stream. And you can get your calls in, 0141 951 1025. Robert is a Rangers fan in Ayr. Robert, how are you feeling about the managerial situation over a week on from Russell Martin being sacked?
I wanted Steven Gerrard, like I think quite a lot of other fans did, but I'm not going to overreact the way that a lot of the fans are either, because at the end of the day, the board have been appointed and they need to be given some kind of chance to see whether they can be proven right or not with a second manager. If they don't get it right the second time, there's a serious issue then. But just now, all this nonsense about a bang average team or a this or a that, we have no idea what that squad is capable of, because they haven't been tested. They haven't had anybody in charge to show them anything that's anything like a managerial role. The guy was a clown, and we can't make any assessment on that team at all until we've actually seen a decent manager in place, or anybody, if it's Stephen Smith, whoever it is, any manager worth their salt can do better than that guy. And we need to at least be given a chance to see if the squad's good enough or not. Let's see the weekend and go from there.
We've seen it a million times in football that either a full squad or certain players just work better under other managers. There's been times when managers have been sacked, a new manager has come in and it's been transformational. Not saying that's going to happen at Rangers, but is Robert right to sort of leave the possibility open, not to write off every single player that's been signed in the summer and every single player in the squad and think that no manager can get a tune out of
it? I think there's two sides to this. One, I totally agree with Robert. I think that another manager coming in with different ideas, different tactics, different ways that he picks players up in the dressing room with confidence and gets them onto the pitch and they're organised and they know their jobs and roles and responsibilities. I totally agree with that. They could get a massive tune out of the players that are at Rangers. No doubt about that. But where I sort of slightly disagree is that you can't just look at 8 games in, the European campaign as well, and say it's all down to the manager. Players have got to take responsibility. Now, I don't care who you are, and I'm not being disrespectful here, because I think John McLean at Falkirk's doing a brilliant job and has done. But if you're a Rangers player, you shouldn't be counting on your manager to go and win a game against Falkirk, right? And there's other games that they should have been able to go out and win without Russell Martin's input, because you should be good enough to go in the park and do it because of the ability you've got. That's why you're at Rangers. So I'm in both camps here with Robert. Totally agree. I think a new manager coming in that could lift these players, give them that energy, give them that confidence, tweak one or two things, put them in different positions as to how they're going to play, maybe a little bit forward, quicker, and all of a sudden players respond to that. But you cannot just look at Rangers just now sitting eighth in the table, and they've had a disaster start to the league. They look very average indeed. You can't just put all that blame on the manager. Players have got to take responsibility.
Marvin, you've seen the Rangers squad up close. How is it tough for you to even assess where they're at, just given the fact that, you know, being coached by one head coach who's now left, don't know who's going to come in. Is it quite tough to assess exactly how they are, what the potential of that squad is?
Yeah, it's extremely difficult. You know, not only having coached against them, but, you know, having been a player and been in squads when there's been a massive overhaul, it sometimes takes boys longer than others to get going. And you know, then you add into the massive pressure that Rangers players are under because they're expected to win every game domestically. And there's a lot of boys that have gone into that dressing room who've never, you know, dealt with that during their football careers. So, yeah, listen, as I said, you know, Rangers playing against us started the game extremely well from a tactical point of view. And then we kind of nullified that. And then it's almost like they ran out of ideas until they got that goal right at the end. So I believe a manager can go in there and get a tune out of those players. There's no doubt about it. I don't think you can look at any of those players and say, you know, they're playing to their full potential, because that would be a bigger problem. You know, if players are playing to the best of their ability and they're sitting eighth in the league, that's a huge problem. I think you look at it and you look at them and you think, they look lethargic at times. They look void of ideas. They look like they were forced to play an out from the back at times and it wasn't on to do so. And, you know, just watching Rangers before we played them, it seemed that they were trying to play from the back and the first player would get the ball and there'd be no movement on the other side of that. So you know, end up giving the ball away, or you can counter-attack them, or you can press them higher, whatever else it might be. So, yeah, listen, I think there's something to do with the manager. I agree with Gordon, but a lot of that has got to do with the players as well, because even watching a Falkirk game in here when I was working on the Sunday, you know, Rangers concede the goal, they equalise, and all of a sudden the tempo steps up. They need to be playing like that from minute one. If they do that against a majority of the teams in this league, that will be more than enough. And then against some of the teams, they're going to have to show their quality as well, and they've failed to do that so far this season.
Robert, you said, you know, you were initially disappointed when Steven Gerrard stepped away from things. What direction do you feel Rangers need to go in now?
I'm praying that somebody's Scottish, ultimately, because we've tried everything. And I don't know how long it takes before we go back to basics and say, right, with a Scottish team, could we try having a Scottish manager? I don't see why that's such an outward idea and where it became that with Rangers, because at the end of the day, there's been an awful lot of decent Scottish managers, there's an awful lot of decent ones out there now, and I think it's time that we tried something different and went back to that again. Because
does being Scottish just make them the best candidate, though?
No, it doesn't, but the thing is, they shouldn't be excluded from the conversation. They're not even being mentioned now with any real enthusiasm.
Who are the options then? Who are the Scottish options you feel could go in and be a good Rangers manager?
Well, I wouldn't even approach Derek McInnes, because he'll knock his back and he'd be a lunatic to come. If Steve Clarke's finished with Scotland, I'd like to see him there. Somebody mentioned Neil McCann. I don't know if he was genuinely interested in the job or not. That's the only two that I can think of off the top of my head that I would go for.
So is that maybe why Rangers aren't going for a Scottish option? You mentioned Derek McInnes, who you say you don't think will leave Hearts, who's said today that he's quite happy at Hearts. Steve Clarke is still the Scotland manager, is under contract until the World Cup next year. You mentioned Neil McCann, who was obviously part of the backroom staff last year. Talk of him potentially going in as an assistant, but his last full-time role was at Dundee, wasn't it? Maybe the Rangers board just don't feel that those stack up to the other options.
Mm-hmm. No, possibly. But there's Stephen Robinson as well, the other manager that they're talking about. But
Gordon's just given me a look there, because obviously Stephen Robinson is Northern Irish, but I know where you're coming from.
He lives in Scotland. I'm with you, Robert. He lives in Scotland.
Scottish. I mean, out of those options, you know, Robert's saying he would like to see a Scottish manager in charge. It's not as easy as that, is it? Going down the Scottish route because they're Scottish?
No, you've got to sort of... this is massive for the Rangers board, let's be honest about it. Stuart and Thirlwell aren't the favourites just now round about Ibrox. I know they get rid of Russell Martin, but there's still a lot to prove to the Rangers support. So their next appointment has got to be... probably the right one for them, or they're going to come in for so much criticism, it'll be unbelievable. So you've got to sort of narrow the risk for me. Listen, Neil McCann may get in there as a part of the backroom staff. I think Neil speaks very well indeed. I heard he's a very, very good coach on a training ground. That may be his forte. Stephen Robinson, I don't think would float the boat. He's doing a brilliant job and has done at St Mirren and Motherwell in Scotland. And Steve Clarke obviously tied up with trying to get us to a World Cup. So I couldn't sit here. I know Rangers fans will just be picking names and saying, right, okay, I fancy this one or not. I think the ideal situation for everyone would have been Steven Gerrard, but that's gone. I think it's a big, big task for them. I really do. I think they need to try and get this as possibly right as they can, or they will be the next one that will feel the anger of the Rangers fans.
Well, thank you to Robert, 0141 951 1025. Keep those calls coming on the next potential Rangers head coach. Maybe you want to change the subject altogether, that's absolutely fine. We've got a full second hour to do that, so give us a call on that number, and also give us a call for this as well.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Poor Stephen O'Donnell was in. Yeah, I've just seen a photo pop up on the screen behind us of Gordon Hale fixing his hair.
I wasn't fixing my hair, my head was itchy.
To be fair, there's not much hair back there where you're touching to fix it. So.
What are you talking about? Look at big interesting Marvin Bartley sitting on his phone. You finding that funny? You're lucky you're at Heinz Sven, or I'll be after you.
Right, before this turns into a nonsense, Beat the Pundit up next. Your chance to take on either Gordon DL or Marvin Bartley. 0141 951 1025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still another hour to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to wade into the debate about the next Rangers head coach. Should it be Kevin Muscat? Should Rangers wait until the end of November to let him take over with the Chinese Super League season still ongoing? Should it be someone else? Does there need to be a manager in place for the game against Dundee United this weekend? 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to reflect on the international break and what happened with Scotland. Maybe you're a Happy Hearts fan seeing Dennett McInnes lift the Manager of the Month award today, or anything else. 0141 951 1025. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You see poor Stephen O'Donnell yesterday.
What about him?
Was on to play Beat the Pundit. Before I'd even flipped the coin, Gordon DL was texting him saying that he was going to crumble under the pressure.
Well, words of that effect.
Did he win?
Words that I couldn't repeat on radio, but words to that effect.
He was good.
He won, he was decent, yeah.
Oh, saying that, who was the lad that phoned in? Coutinho phoned tonight?
Was it Sid?
Has Sid won again yet?
Let's see this season. What has Simon Donnelly done? He has played 5, lost 5. Oh.
Did you see him the other day? Played in it was a game against Feyenoord. He does some brilliant movement for Celtic Foundation, like the Legends team. Brilliant movement. Ball goes in behind, through one on one, kicks it wide. Oh. And then it pans to the bench, and everyone's like, ah.
All kicked off at the end of that game as well. Did you see with the referee, Scott Brown?
Got a red card, didn't he?
Got sent off.
Effie Ambrose was just standing there looking around, didn't know what was going on.
Do you ever see Shed playing?
No, not in his heyday.
Is he like this?
You'll be listening.
100%. If you send him a message in a minute. Yeah. What a guy.
You just mentioned 100% there because you want me to mention your record this season.
Oh, I've got 100%, have I?
8 wins from 8. That's pretty good.
Not rocket.
I'm flying as well, by the way.
It's a difficult day, the Thursday, for people to call in.
You've played more than anyone.
Thursday,
12
this
games.
Is Tuesday, mate.
All right.
That's a bad start for you. Doesn't even know what day it is.
I tell you, mate, your weekend's got to fly in.
Right, it's going to be Martin in Coatbridge. Martin, have you played before? We got you, Martin?
Nah, first time I've called, mate.
How do you normally get on?
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Martin. Buddy. Got you loud and clear. Who would you normally play? Yeah. How do you normally get on at home, first of all? This isn't sounding
not
promising.
Too bad. Depends who's playing.
Right, okay. Right. Gordon DL or Marvin Bartley, who would you rather face?
Nah.
Nine is, okay.
Right, I wonder if we should maybe get his line cleared up, because that could cause all sorts of problems. Yeah.
I think there's a bit of a delay.
I could help, Martin.
Yeah, we had a couple of years, a couple of weeks ago, we had a delay from someone. A couple of years. My brain's delaying. It was a couple of weeks ago, and it was, I think the guy only got 3 questions in, because every question I asked, he took about 5 seconds to answer, because he didn't hear it properly, right? So we're trying to clear up Martin's line so that it's...
We will just play each other if he doesn't call back.
Send one of you out the room.
Yeah, that'd go and stand outside. Class.
Yep, I'll tuck you away. That's per normal.
So you think your recent record's been quite good? What have you said you won your last three?
I think the last 3 or last 4. I'm moving up the table.
Was it a poor start to the season for you then?
It was a decent start, and then I fell away, and I had a little bad run of two or three games that I wasn't right on the ball.
You play a lot of games though, don't you? A bit of fatigue.
Yeah. Just depending where I was doing that weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Well, that day.
You know what, the fatigue.
Exactly. I need more energy.
Tell you what, we've lost Martin, I think.
Oh,
we've
lost him. Martin's so much.
That doesn't surprise
we're
me.
We're going to queue up another. Maybe he just ran scared. Maybe he heard about your 100% record.
It sounds like he's out walking the dog or something, and then
going through the Clyde Tunnel.
Yeah, check on his safety.
Yeah, we'll make sure he's safe. Yeah, and then
sure
we'll get
right.
another.
Make sure Martin's
caller
okay.
Lined up as well. But yeah, you were. That was harsh on Stephen O'Donnell last night. You texting him.
I was just giving them a wee bit of encouragement. And like Stephen, I travelled with him the last time we were doing the programme and knew how nervous he was.
You're just saying you like him so that next time you can get a lift from him again.
Yeah.
Were you in the bath? Listen.
No, I wasn't. No, I've got him now. New bathroom. I've not got a
bath. Are you?
Yeah.
You get the new bath put in, or are you going to have a walk in the shower, wet room?
New bath, mate.
Right, yeah. enough Wednesday. Delaying about Gordon Deer. We bathroom. Right, we've got a caller now. David is in New York Hill and is going to play. David, have we got you loud and clear?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good stuff.
David, I'd hang up, mate. You were second choice.
Yeah.
That's an outrage.
So who was the first caller? Was Stephen Gerrard then?
Yeah.
And David is whoever Rangers now appoint. Is that correct? Right. I'll stop with the nonsense questions. We'll get straight into it, David. It's going to be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Marvin Bartley, the red side for Gordon DL.
Who do you want to play, David?
Well, it's going to be Marvin anyway, so it doesn't matter who you wanted, because it's going to be Marvin.
I was going to say Gordon as well.
Hi, okay, David, show you where.
David, good luck, mate. You sound like a good guy.
Right, we'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Marvin Bartley, so he cannot hear us. David, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. You can pass as well if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yep, all good.
Right, let's go. Who were relegated from the Championship last season?
Arbroath.
Which Rangers manager signed Kevin Muscat?
Dirk Advocat.
St Mirren's Jaden Richardson has played for which other Scottish side?
St Mirren.
Who was Celtic manager at the turn of the century?
Wim Janssen.
Who was Nacho Novo's first Scottish team?
Dundee.
Who is top of League 2?
Spartans.
Spell Stamatolopoulos.
No.
Okay.
Please just go to that question.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one, I think. We'll see if Marvin gets that far.
But you've got to have a go. You can't just pass that one. I think that's the rules.
Right. Okay. 30 seconds on the clock.
Be some stupid spelling.
For
decent tunes, by the way.
Marvin Bartley. Let's go. Who were relegated from the Championship last year?
Hamilton.
Which Rangers manager signed Kevin Muscat?
Dick Advocat.
St Mirren's Jaden Richardson has played for which other Scottish side?
Dundee.
Who was Celtic manager at the turn of the century?
Gordon Strachan.
Who was Nacho Novo's first Scottish team?
Rangers.
Who is top of League 2?
Spartans.
Spell Stamatolopoulos.
Pass.
Tiny Wharton was a famous what?
Footballer. I'll get one more question. What are you doing?
What? That was the end.
It took
of,
so
the
long.
End
no, it definitely wasn't.
You got through loads of questions there.
I was entitled to another one. Wow, bring back Gordon.
Tiny.
I think the full time whistle went fittingly on that question.
Yeah.
Right, we will go through them. Who were relegated from the Championship last year? David went for Arbroath. Marvin went for Hamilton. David, are you a Motherwell fan?
I am, yeah.
Surely should be remembering that Hamilton got relegated
David,
last season. 1-0 to Marvin Bartley. Which Rangers manager signed Kevin Muscat?
I would say Alex McLeish.
It was Alex McLeish.
Wow.
And the two guys both went for Dick Advocat. So it remains 1-0 to Marvin Bartley. St Mirren's Jaden Richardson has played for which other Scottish side? So David said St Mirren. I said St Mirren in the question.
David, mate, that's your problem, buddy.
Your problem is that it's Aberdeen, so you got it wrong as well. Yeah. So it remains 1-0 to Marvin Bartley.
Game.
Who was the Celtic manager at the turn of the century?
Who was this? Do you know?
Neil Lennon.
That's a rubbish guess. Turn of the century, Neil Lennon.
Oh, turn of the century. I know who, Martin O'Neill.
John Barnes. So it remains 1-0 to Marvin Bartley.
I know the next question.
Scoring affair. Who was Nacho Novo's first Scottish team? Gordon DL will know this.
Raith Rovers.
It is Raith Rovers. You said Rangers. David said Dundee. So it remains 1-0 to
David,
Marvin Bartley.
This is a slugfest, mate.
Who is top of League 2?
Oh, David, you've not got this, buddy. I know that. You're 2-0 down.
He said Spartans.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah. Well done, Dave.
But so did Marvin Bartley. 2-1. You both got onto the next one. Spell Stamatolopoulos.
David, Marvin, you, don't Marvin, tell me you tried.
Marvin Bartley passed straight away. David simply just said no. And then his time ran out. You've got one more question in, Marvin. David didn't. Tiny Wharton referee. Was a famous what? A famous referee from the 60s.
Didn't need it.
Tom Wharton, famously called Tiny because he was about 6'4".
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, so it was
big for next time.
Not a classic on Beat the Pundit, but it was a 2-1 victory for Marvin Bartley.
You are playing some people just now, but you're handpicking these guys.
That was a difficult
right,
one.
See Martin in Coatbridge? He was brilliant. They get rid of him because they knew you were going to play. They got David on for Newthill, who is... Did he get a donut?
No, he got a one.
Oh, he got, right, he got a one.
Yep. You're saying David was a plant?
Oh, David was a plant. Yeah, David was certainly a plant.
He was a resident on your favourite show.
Thank you to David, 0141-951-1025. By the way, see, even if I gave you that extra question, zero chance.
Okay.
Zero chance you would
fire
get this.
Fire at me.
Go.
Which Kilmarnock manager won their only top flight title? Exactly. That is what Hold I on. Thought. It was Marvin. Marvin was complaining about the fact that he didn't get that question.
Pass.
Never in a million Pass. Years should you've got that.
Hold on.
Oh, wait, you only get 30 seconds. You're that no.
And you get 30 seconds for all the questions, not just for one question.
I'm just trying. How far back? 60s or something?
Yeah, 64, 65 season.
Wait.
Willie Waddle.
Oh, that's who I meant. W. Waddle. That's who I meant.
All right, we'll give him the point.
Rangers manager.
You get the point.
Anyway,
those are tough questions, by the way.
Yes,
someone's had a bad week going as well. Going with those questions. That's, yeah, come on.
Oh, well, still a win. 9 from 9 for Marvin Bartley.
We'll
play again tomorrow from 6 o'clock. 0141-951-1025 on the phone. Stevie is a Celtic fan up next. Stevie, how are you?
I'm fine. Evening, lads.
Evening, Stevie.
Marvin Bartley must have the most infectious laugh.
Oh, my ears are burning, Steve. Let me tell you. See my right one.
Gordon, you've got merged to get out of jail free cards in a store of Monopoly, mate. Your excuses are amazing, you know.
Stevie, I try my best.
Oh, they're brilliant. They make me laugh. I'm already thinking about the January window for both clubs, given all the recent stuff, right? So I'll talk about Celtic first because I'm a Celtic fan. Obviously, disaster. Well, Rodgers will probably go. So, do the board do A, double down and say, you're not getting any money, you're gone anyway, and you're gone, you go and get somebody else, and blah, blah, blah. Probably sell Maeda, and it's just mere pain. Or do they say, listen, we made the right mess in that, the fans are going nuts, blah, blah, but we better sort this, and we better actually back him here and maybe, you know, see what happens. As far as Rangers goes,
We'll start with that, Stevie, and then we'll get on to your next point. First of all, are you resigned to losing Brendan Rodgers at the end of the season? Do you think there's no chance he stays on?
There's a very slim chance, but for that chance to have any chance at all, Lawwell has to go, because there's two egos in the building and this town ain't big enough for the both of us. As Sparks used to sing, he probably hates Rodgers because Rodgers basically didn't take on board his boys' sign-ins, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know this. This is just all my opinion, right? I don't think there's a good working relationship. When you hear Rodgers speaking, he speaks about things like, I'm talking to Dermot Desmond, I'm talking to Michael, I'm talking to Chris. He never mentions Lawwell.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen's obviously speculating about the relationship inside Celtic there. What we do know is that Brendan Rodgers' contract is up at the end of the season. Does that make the January transfer window complicated at all? If there is no agreement in place by then of whether Brendan Rodgers is going to stay on, could that be awkward when it comes to recruitment at all?
Yeah, I think it obviously makes it more complicated than as if you know, Brendan Rodgers had a 3 or 4 year contract sitting ahead of him. One thing I'll be pretty sure on is it's not just one person makes a decision on the players coming in. Yes, Brendan Rodgers will probably get the final say. So if the club think they need to improve in January, they're not going to do that saying that Brendan Rodgers won't be there at the end of the season. I think they'll have players that they want to target in areas they want to target. And, you know, the fans
are right. They didn't do enough. They didn't fail to qualify for the Champions League through the lack of activity. I don't think they'll let that happen again. But in answer to your question, 100%, it makes it more difficult to go out and get players maybe that Brendan Rodgers wants. He's got less pulling power as a manager. If he goes in and he had a four-year contract saying, I want this player and this player, I think you're more likely to get them. You know, with 6 months remaining on your contract, and if he doesn't sign a new contract by then, they might be less, you know, likely to do so. But I do think, you know, Celtic will be active during the January transfer window.
Yeah, there will be questions about, you know, the internal dealings at Celtic and how the transfer structure works, especially after the minutes of the meeting came out between the board and the Celtic fans collective. Because one part that really stuck out, I think, to a lot of Celtic fans was Michael Nicholson was being asked about recruitment, and he said that, you know, every signing has to be signed off by Brendan Rodgers. He was then asked, why did Brendan Rodgers then refer to a couple of the summer signings as club signings? And then it just said, in the minutes of the meeting, Michael Nicholson shrugs his shoulders.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. There's certainly a divide between the board and the Celtic manager and recruitment. Look, we could be surprised. Brendan Rodgers may look and have signed a contract. I don't think he will. I think he'll eventually leave. He said he was here for his 3 years. I think he'll see that out. And it leaves Celtic with a little bit of a problem, because if Brendan Rodgers signs them all off, what do? Do you invest heavily? You've got to look into the situation where they are in the league, first and foremost, as well. Is Hearts still up there? Has Rangers brought in a new manager? All of a sudden, there's a challenge. Has someone, you know, kept up the pace? A Kilmarnock or a St Mirren or whatever it may be. So you'll need to look at the full situation. But I don't think they can afford, by the supporters, to have the same transfer window, Andrew. I think if they're going to bring in players, they'll need to identify them quickly, and they need to get them in the building and make them stronger.
Do you think they need to sign players in order to win the Premiership?
Right now, the way they're playing, yeah, I would. I think because of, it's highlighted that one or two in key positions, injuries-wise, Marv, they've left their cell a little bit short.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about the centre-forward area. They were talking about the right-hand side, a winger. Yeah, you look at Alistair Johnston, out long-term. Jota, obviously out long-term. Big player for him as well. And the question marks is probably their biggest strength, the Midland Park. They're trying to find that rotation to get it, that spark back again, because they have got a lot of good talent in there. Yeah, I think they'll need to strengthen in January, no doubt.
Stevie, just given what happened in the summer, do you have belief that Celtic will be able to get it right in January in terms of the recruitment?
Only if there's a major change at the board, as I say, they realise we've made a real mess of this, blah, blah, blah. And of course, depends between now and then what happens with the fans collective, if they start putting pressure on financially, if Adidas don't buy anything, blah, blah, blah. But I think this board are entrenched and they think they're geniuses. And that could be anybody, that could be the manager. And we'll never get another manager like Brendan Rodgers again, because nobody will come and work if you let somebody else decide your future. Of course you wouldn't. It's your future, your reputation, and you have to believe what you believe in. You can't have somebody saying, no, you can't be this and you can't be that, and these are the rules and blah, blah, blah. And that's probably why Gerrard's no took the Rangers job. As far as the Rangers go in January, they're probably still paying for Clement. They obviously didn't budget for having to pay half Martin when back then staff. The Americans haven't. I'm not going to put any more money in, so that's going to have to come out of any potential transfer kitty. So it's almost certain that they'll sell Raskin and whoever else and get money for it. There's going to be a bit of a fire sale there. I think the two squads in January, I don't think any of the sets of fans will be happy with what the two sets of the squads look like in January. Probably the biggest beneficiary is going to be Hearts if they can keep their run going. I expect Rodgers to go, because he'll no work under the conditions, unless, as I say, Lawwell leaves. But he's too stubborn, too proud. Rumours he might retire at the AGM, who knows? How can you work for somebody when they're briefing against you to a newspaper and saying you're working your ticket? I mean, how can you work under the conditions? Why would you sign up for another year under the conditions unless things were to change dramatically? You've got to feel safe in your job. You've got to feel appreciated. And then you get the best out of people. You can't see people like that and expect them to perform at their best. So,
I mean, Brendan Rodgers has said himself that he feels it's sort of case closed when it comes to that briefing story. Michael Nicholson has said the same. But when it comes to Brendan Rodgers, Stevie saying all rumours he could resign at the AGM or whatever, Brendan Rodgers has several times been very clear about his stance at Celtic. He said it on day one when he came back in. He said it several times since, especially over the summer when he was asked about his future. He will be at Celtic for the duration of his 3-year contract. There's surely no way, after saying that repeatedly, that Brendan Rodgers would leave before that 3 years is over.
Yeah, I can't see that at all. Like you said, you know, he told the supporters that he wouldn't be leaving at the start and you know, during the middle and now towards the end as well. I can't see any situation where Brendan Rodgers leaves the football club before the end of this season. I think, you know, if he is to go out, he'll want to go out on a high. You know, he'll want to, if he can do it, you know, bring a treble to the football club. You know, and he won't want to go out with a sour taste in his mouth and the supporters' mouth, because that's what happened last time he left the football club. So, yeah, want to go out on good terms, and you know, he'll be doing his utmost to make sure he can bring silverware to the football club if it is to be his last season there.
Thanks to Stevie. 01419511025. We'll take more of your calls next and set up a teaser for these two as well.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL taking your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to get involved, so give us a call. 0141 951 1025. Let's get into this full-time teaser, shall we? It is the rivalry between the Crazy Pony and the Sensible Donkey, who are two of our top contributors for the full-time teaser, sort of going back and forth, giving us questions.
So talking about who's on tonight then?
The Sensible Donkey sends this one in.
Usually
and he
hard
says,
with the donkey, innit?
You can test this out for yourself. And we will leave that and go on to the question. Can you name the seven Scottish players?
The hard horse.
Can you name the seven Scottish players Steven Gerrard has selected most in his managerial career? Can you name the seven Scottish players Steven Gerrard has selected most in his managerial career?
I would say Ryan Jack.
Ryan Jack is correct in second place with 110.
Okie dokie. Scottish players, right, okay.
Keep repeating the question, it gets
easier. Yeah, I'm trying to buy myself time for you to help me here.
Alan McGregor.
Alan McGregor, top of the pile, 156. So you get the top two, we will leave that there and come back to it. Let's speak to Paul, who is a Hearts fan in Edinburgh. Paul, you must be feeling good about how this season's gone so far.
Hi, how you doing, guys? You all right? Yeah, feeling absolutely delighted. And Big Marvin, even though you're a hippie, I think you're a great guy, mate. Honestly.
Cheers, buddy.
Really good pundit. I just wanted to ask Gordon and Marvin, if Hearts get to the end of December and we're, you know, within 6 or 7 points of Celtic, potentially, do you think Tony Bloom will call his bluff and start putting some real, real money in and maybe think there's an opportunity here for Hearts to go all the way?
Yeah, when you say real money, I don't think he'll go above and beyond maybe what he spent now. I think the highest was it £2 million or £1.8 million for, is it Agu, the boy that's injured at this
Brazilian
moment in time? Yeah. I think you'll see more players coming in of that quality. For me, I don't think Tony Bloom's about spending massive amounts of money. I think it's finding the right players, using obviously the database that he does use. And he's done it before, as we've seen down at Brighton, and he's done it now obviously with Hearts, and players have came into the squad. I definitely think you'll go again in January, regardless of whether you're 7 points behind Celtic or 15 points behind. I think he'll keep improving things. But yeah, you're right, that could be sped up if you are, you know, towards the top of the league. But I don't think there's any doubt about it that Hearts will go again in January and look to improve that squad. And then obviously you have a few boys going out the other way as well, because the squad is pretty big at this moment in time.
Because it's no secret, you don't get that much money relatively for winning the Scottish Premiership. The big money comes in European football. The ultimate goal for Tony Bloom and Hearts is to get into the Champions League. He said that himself. That's where Hearts can earn big, big money. To get into the Champions League, you need to finish top of the Scottish Premiership. So if Tony Bloom maybe gets to January and thinks, well, it's maybe a realistic option slightly earlier than he thinks, could that be the time to then pull the trigger?
Yeah, I do, because I don't think that Hearts will win the league, right? But I don't think they'll be that far away, because I think that Marv's saying tonight, they've got a really good squad. They've got a good manager. They've got off to a good start. Okay, they're obviously disappointed to put out the League Cup, but their league campaign's very, very good, and they sit there proudly at the top of the table. They've got guys that can score goals. So I do believe the same as Marv. I think, especially in the first season, I think Derek will get the backing of the Hearts board in January. And it'll be interesting to see how he adds. And you're right, Marv, every other club, people only concentrate on players coming out. Sometimes you've got to get players going the other way to release wages and free up a little bit of money for a manager. But I do think they will stay positive.
What camp are you in, Paul? Because I've heard some Hearts fans say it's still early in the season, it's still the start of a new project, not going to get too carried away when it comes to this season. But there'll be other Hearts fans out there that will be dreaming, wondering what is possible this season.
Yeah, I've not missed a game. We're playing okay. We're not playing great football, but we're grinding out results. You know, I was at Livingston. Marvin will know that one. Mm-hmm. We were lucky there. I think we'll do all right. If we get second, I'd be absolutely delighted. But I genuinely think if we're close to Celtic at the end of this year, I think Tony Bloom will put some money in and try and go for it earlier than the 10 years that he forecast.
I agree with what Paul's saying there in terms of, you know, he mentioned that, you know, Hearts aren't playing at their best, which is only a positive for me, because if you're sitting top of the league, Paul, and you still think there's more to come from those players and the squad as a whole, you know, that's only a positive. You know, if you're playing out of your skin and you're up there and you think, do you know what, we can't keep playing to these levels. I think Hearts have got another level to go up. And that's the thing. That's why I do think, you know, they'll do extremely well this season. I think, you know, be third place at a minimum, and then you bring the new players in January. But I think the good thing for Derek, and if you're a Hearts supporter, is that you're looking at your team and thinking, you know, we've grinded out a few results, but we could probably play better than we currently are as well.
When it comes to the squad, Paul, not just adding in January, but see the players that Derek McInnes has at his disposal, that he's maybe not used as much yet. And I think a prime example of that is Pierre-Landry Kabore, who was on international duty over these 2 weeks with Burkina Faso. He came off the bench for Dango Ouattara, who Bournemouth just paid £40 million for. Kabore came on and scored a hat-trick in that game. So are there players in there that you think haven't really been tapped into their full potential yet, Paul?
100%, Andrew, 100%. We've only saw him for a couple of... He came on for a couple of games as a substitute, but we've also got Agu coming back. He had 20 minutes against Livingston, and, you know, those 20 minutes he was on, he looked outstanding, so he's coming back. But we've also got a guy from Kazakhstan, Chesnikov.
Chesnikov, yep.
And everyone's raving about this guy as well. So, you know, that could potentially be three... You could define it as new signings coming in December potentially. So there's a lot of excitement. I'm delighted, absolutely. But I think if we do get to that point at the end of December, I think Tony will put some extra cash in. I really do. I'm very excited. But as Marvin says, we're not playing that well. There's more to come, genuinely.
I know there's been a lot of talk, Paul, certainly externally, about Derek McInnes and the Rangers vacancy. Has there been any concern for you at all there, or do you think it's just a lot of noise?
Nah, no chance. He's not going anywhere. I think he's got a vision for Hearts. I think his recent interview suggested he's wanted the Hearts job for a number of years. I think he's relatively happy. So no, I don't think there's any chance McInnes is going to Rangers. No chance at all.
Let's hear from Derek McInnes when he was accepting his Manager of the Month award today. He was speaking to Sky Sports. He insists he's committed to the club despite speculation linking him with that Rangers job.
I think in any way of life, there's always that case for a manager. You're normally fighting speculation off if you're not winning games, about trying to keep your job. And normally if you're doing well, then there's maybe a bit of speculation. But listen, it's for us, it's my job here, it's firmly at heart, so I'm really enjoying it here. I've wanted to be here for a long time, I'm really enjoying my work here. We feel we've started something now, and we want to try and make sure that we follow up a strong start to the season and maintain it and see what it takes us. You know, I firmly believe we can be successful here.
There almost seems to be parallels with the Derek McInnes Rangers chat with the Lawrence Shankland Rangers chat back in January, because there was so much talk about it on this show. People were phoning in all the time saying Lawrence Shankland needs to go to Rangers, Rangers need to sign him. There wasn't really any real interest there, as far as our understanding. It almost seems as if it's the same with Derek McInnes, where people are bringing up his name a lot. He's been tipped by, you know, Rangers supporters. He's been tipped by pundits, ex-footballers. But there's not really been any evidence to suggest that it's a route Rangers were looking to go down.
No, I think if that was the case, they'd have probably made the approach before now. Derek handles his interviews very well. He brushes away the sort of awkward questions about Rangers. Of course, anybody looking at the size of the club that Rangers are and the job there, you've got to be sitting there thinking, yeah, I could be interested in that. But he's in a very good job at Hearts just now. He's got the backing of the owners. He's got off to a great start in the league. He's got a very good squad. And I just think that he looks quite content where he is.
At that, it's also just the classic manager answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you sort of say something, but don't really say a whole lot, because he's not going to come out and say, no, I'm not moving to Rangers. It's the, I'm happy here, you know, I'm just focused on Hearts, which you expect every manager to kind of say in that scenario.
Yeah, exactly that. You know, he's there to ultimately speak about Hearts and winning second manager of the month in a row. So, you know, this question's always going to come to him when Rangers don't have a manager, and also he's doing well. You know, you put those two things together. But yeah, in terms of his answer, I wouldn't read too much into it, because like you said, it's just a typical manager's answer to say, yeah, I'm doing my job here, and next question, please.
Well, thanks to Paul. John is a Celtic fan in Cope Bridge. John, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi, Gordon, Marv and Andrew.
Hello, mate.
Hi, guys. No, I was trying to get this point for a couple of days. Me and my mates were talking about this a bit. I think Hearts will spend in the January transfer window, but I would like to see Celtic going for Boyd Bowie and the boys, two boys, Howard Bowie and Mulligan and David Watson to Kilmarnock. And because I think it'd be get the Scottish point contingent in, and I think Brendan would bring these guys on. I think it'd be a great signing for Celtic. My first point, what do you think?
Three good players, he's mentioned there. Whether they're on Celtic's radar or not, I don't know. I don't think that Hibs will be looking to move on Bowie and Mulligan just now. Young Watson at Kilmarnock's got a great start to the season, goal threat as well. Look, when guys, especially younger players, are playing well, the big clubs take notice. They'll be watching, they'll be looking at their progress. And then it's just up to them if they fancy making a cheeky bid, whether it be in January or at the end of the season, whatever it may be. But of course, you wouldn't be doing your job if you didn't have guys like that on your radar.
Anyone at Hibs will tell you as well that if any club wants Kieran Bowie, it's not going to come cheap. If any club wants Josh Mulligan, who just got called into the Scotland squad as a late call-up during the international break, that's not going to come cheap either, is it?
No, exactly that. You know, the three players that John mentions, I think, you know, Barry will probably be the most realistic one for Celtic to go for in the next window, just because they're so heavily weighted in that central midfield area, unless someone was to leave, obviously. But yeah, listen, Barry's had a fantastic start to the season, which has meant he's been called into the Scotland squad. He then makes his debut as well. So it's been a real, real good start to the season for the lad. You know, he ended the back of last season really well as well. He's had a few injury problems last season, but he seems to be over them. Touch wood, and hopefully for him that continues. But as Gordon said there, you know, they'll definitely be on the radar of Celtic, because, you know, you wouldn't be doing your job if, you know, boys who are doing really well in the league, young players as well that have a resale value, you know, which Celtic obviously like having as well. But I think out of those three, Barry would probably be the most realistic one, because they do need, you know, another number nine up there.
David Watson starting regularly again, maybe wasn't as much last season as he would have wanted to under Derek McInnes. Of course, had his breakout season before that. I was going to say back to his best, but maybe better than ever at the moment. The one thing Kilmarnock will be concerned about, his contract is up next summer. You'd imagine that there'll be quite a few clubs interested.
Oh, there'll certainly be a few clubs interested, because he's come on leaps and bounds. And it just shows you he's given that confidence to getting a regular pick under Stuart Kettlewell, and the manager believes that he's now ready. Derek sort of brought him on and would maybe put him on the bench for a couple of weeks. And that's just the way you develop young players, but he's ready to take that forward step now. And of course, there'll be clubs looking at him.
John, do you think those guys are ready to, you know, go in January if Celtic were to go follow him and make an instant impact?
I think they would be, yes. I know I've said this before. I mean, I love Cal McGregor, but I think Cal McGregor now has come to the twilight of his career, and I know he still dictates a lot of stuff, but to me, some of the stuff we're playing is going back the way all the time. And I think a young boy like Watson, that's how as Gordon was, obviously, you know, my regular caller. I spoke to Gordon quite a lot this summer about Lennon Miller. Thought he'd been a great sign for sale, but obviously it didn't materialise. But would you call it, I was going to say as well, a wee bit of another point about the Scotland game the other night, right? Maybe this is a bit controversial, but I can't believe that in one of these things they gave Andy Robertson man of the match. I thought it was absolutely terrible. And I think Kieran Tierney to me is finished too. I hate to say that, but he didn't look the player he was. But see the, what do you call it, the young boy that scored the goal for Belarus. I was looking up his stats, that he's valued at £120,000. I thought he was great. Even the first goal that Belarus got chopped off, Robertson was sleeping at the goal at the back post, and then the guy turned him brilliant for the finish. You know what I mean? I think there are guys out there could be bought brilliant for Celtic, or even Rangers, and that for that matter. Some of these Eastern European guys, I thought that boy was brilliant. He's only 19 or something. I can't remember his name. I can't even pronounce it. But
see, just on John's point, he talked about Andy Robertson. He talked about Callum McGregor, essentially saying he feels they're done. I think Callum McGregor's 32, Andy Robertson's 31. Is that something we maybe go a bit overboard with? If a player hits the age of 30, maybe goes through a bad patch of form, that people maybe sort of jump on it all of a sudden and go, well, that's it, he's done, legs are finished, he's not as good as he was previously.
Said that about me when I was 28. I didn't even get to the 30s and people were saying
I was
that.
Going a bit lower than that.
No, but like you said, it's one of those things. Listen, these boys are the ultimate professionals. But, you know, as you do get older, you do begin to slow down, etc. And like you said, you have a bad game and all of a sudden, you know, people are saying, oh, your legs are gone. And then, you know, in 4 or 5 weeks again, people are saying, oh, Callum McGregor's playing his best football, and same with Robertson. So, yeah, listen, sometimes you go overboard with it and players will have bad games. And like you said, when you are plus 30s, it's just labelled at your age, unfortunately.
Well, thank you to John, 0141 951 1025, on the phones. You've got some work to do on this teaser. Can you name the 7 Scottish players Steven Gerrard has selected the most in his managerial career? You have the top 2, Alan McGregor and Ryan Jack.
McGinn.
John McGinn, correct. 38 matches at Aston Villa.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yeah, Scott Arfield.
You weren't even... Canadian.
He's not Canadian.
He's a Scottish Canadian.
When we deal in these questions, we do football nationality.
So it's not the Scottish players then, is it? It's like saying Martin Ball's Australian when he's not. He's born in Scotland. He's Scottish.
He'd be Australian for purposes of this question.
John Souter.
John Souter. No.
Perfect.
Yeah. You're not
Canadian. That's come on.
More answers next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Not long to go on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but still a wee bit of time for you to get involved. 0141 951 1025. Need you guys to finish off this teaser as well. Can you name the 7 Scottish players Steven Gerrard has selected the most in his managerial career, like Alan McGregor, Ryan Jack and John McGinn, but not like Scott Arfield, who you said before the break, because he's a Canadian international.
Mm-hmm. He's a Canadian that was born in Scotland.
Okay.
Perfect.
Right. A man who made a career looking at the back of managers' heads and still does to this day. Halliday.
Third on the list.
Tremendous.
There you go.
Wasn't sitting on the bench too much there.
There you go.
Got enough games to be third on the list.
He loves Scott Stevie Wright. G.
Scott Wright.
Oh, brilliant.
Is 9th. So just misses out.
Jamie Murphy?
Jamie Murphy is incorrect. Only 10 games, Jamie Murphy.
Who's the other one?
Stuart.
Greg Aberdeen. Stewart, good shout. He's 6th on the list, 33 matches. 2 more to get. We'll get them in a bit. 0141 951 1025. Billy is a Rangers fan in Toll Cross. Billy, what are you thinking?
How you doing, lads? Good evening. I like a bit of a panel. I mean, when is somebody going to be held accountable for the carnage and debacle that was their summer transfer signing policy? You know what I mean? Because Kevin Thirlwell has now spent a total of £20 million on Youssef Tchermeti, £12 million to take him to an Everton team that were fighting relegation, and £8 million to bring him to the Ibrox. When, in all honesty, you know what I mean, they never pulled up any trees at Everton, who are, as I said, fighting relegation. Certainly didn't look as if he's going to pull up any trees here in Scotland. And as for the other 12, I mean, you could only say Gassama is the only one that's actually nailing down a place. The rest, half of them I can't even remember now. I mean, summer loan signings like Nasser Jagan, we signed away Fernandez. I mean, they've disappeared. Somebody's got to be held accountable, whether it be Patrick Stewart or whether it be Kieran Thirlwell. It's just shocking that it's been allowed to happen.
Do you feel, Billy, before anyone, you know, puts their hands up and admits that they got it wrong and that they feel that the transfer window was a shambles, do you think more time needs to pass? Do you think that, you know, a new manager could potentially come in, some of the signings could look a bit better under a new manager? Have you kind of lost all hope that any of them or the majority of them won't make an impact?
I've not lost all hope. No, I mean, I'm sure a different manager can bring out the best in certain players, but I would say the majority of them certainly don't look as if they're going to cut into Ibrox.
Yusuf Chamite, a lot of focus will be on him because the money that Rangers spent, £8 million rising to £10 million, is huge for any Scottish club to spend. Celtic or Rangers spend that type of money on a striker. Mm-hmm. People will expect them to go straight in, hit the ground running, score several goals, you know, straight away. It's obviously not happened. He's not had a massive opportunity. He's not starting loads of games. You know, Billy's not convinced by him. He is only 21. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still been selected for Portugal's under-21s over this international break. Is he one of the players that maybe just needs a bit of time, needs another manager to see whether he can fulfil the potential that Rangers clearly think he has?
Yeah, the only thing you can say right now, if you bring in someone of that calibre at that sort of price, you would imagine he would be the number one striker. He's not a number one striker at Rangers just now. He's not showed a lot. There was no evidence by bringing them in. You're looking at a lad that was finding it difficult to get a game, finding it difficult to score goals. And he's came to a Rangers team that obviously was a bit of a pressure situation because of the situation with the manager. So it wasn't nice to play under. So he might just get the freedom now if a new manager comes in, that manager bounce, he might just show that potential that Rangers obviously think he's got because they pay that sort of a money for him. I couldn't understand it. I don't see where it backs anything up of saying, yep, we've done our homework on this lad and we're prepared to put out that investment in him. He may come good because you're quite right, he's only young. There are a lot of transfers I've looked at, players that have been brought in. As I said earlier, look, new manager might come in, get everything going again. I've not seen enough in a lot of these players to convince me that they're good enough to play for the club.
The money that's been spent on Yusuf Chamite, does that add any extra pressure for the next manager or next head coach to play him? Because Bojan Miovski, you'd expect, would be going into Rangers expecting to start, given his track record in the Scottish Premiership. But you'd think if people inside Rangers think Yusuf Chamite is worth £8 to £10 million, they're expecting that he will fulfil his potential and they'll go on to sell him for more money. Is it then tough for a new head coach to come in and leave, you know, an £8 million player on the bench?
No, it's definitely easier for the new head coach coming in who didn't sanction, you know, the transfer or wasn't involved in the transfer than it was for Russell Martin, who was there. And you know, speaking about him, I think he played 70 minutes in the league, you know, for Rangers. So again, I spoke about it earlier on the show, you know, we're writing people off because just how things are going at Rangers, you know, nothing seems to be right at this moment in time because of drop points, you know, knocked out Champions League qualifiers in humiliating fashion, haven't started a European campaign well. So everything's wrong. And things can change very, very quickly in football. You give it a couple of weeks, you win a couple of games, and everything begins to change. And all of a sudden, these players start to look all right. And then you go on a longer run and look really, really good signings. There's a reason that they've paid £8 million for him now. Whether that's right or wrong, we won't know on a small sample size that we do have. But, you know, like you said, for £8 million, and I agree with Gordon, you expect him to have something special and you expect to see that at some point in the season. But, you know, to write him off after 70 minutes of playing, you know, in Scottish football in terms of domestically, you know, I think is very, very harsh.
Billy, in terms of the, you know, hunt for the next manager, who gets your tip?
Kevin Muscat.
Would you be happy to wait if Rangers needed to get his services?
Certainly, I'd be happy to get Neil McCann in the door, know what I mean, and wait on Kevin Muscat arriving at a later point. I mean, once he's wrapped up that Chinese league, that would also open up doors, i.e., Ange Postecoglou to the Asian market. And on top of that, what you've got to remember, Matt, Marvin, mm-hmm. is Chernihiv wasn't only signed for the Scottish League. Rangers are in Europe as well.
How many games has he played in Europe?
If you can't, I know, but if you can't do it in Scotland, he's certainly not going to do it against European teams.
I know, we've not been able to see if he's done it in Scotland because he only plays 70 minutes. And also, you talk about players not being able to do it in Scotland, that means they can't do it in Europe. Look at Celtic in Europe last season in Champions League. Look at yourselves in terms of you got getting to a final. So, you know, I think sometimes we play the league down and saying if you can't do it in Scotland, you can't do it in Europe, where actually Scottish teams, I know this season hasn't been great, but, you know, over the last few years in Europe, Scottish teams have actually done reasonably well with Celtic and Rangers.
Coincidentally, Youssef Chermiti has just come off the bench for Portugal under-21s and scored.
Oh, there
against,
you go.
Against Gibraltar.
Doesn't matter, you've got to put the ball in the back of the net, caveat, buddy. But to be fair, Scotland beat them 8-0, didn't they?
12.
12-0, was it in the
12-0,
end?
12-0, yeah.
Oh, wow. So, get his confidence up.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you to Billy. Let's finish off this teaser. Can you name the seven Scottish players Steven Gerrard has selected the most in his managerial career? You've got Alan McGregor, Ryan Jack, Andy Halliday, John McGinn, Craig Stewart. Two to get.
Only because he's Scottish. Nathan Patterson?
No.
John McLaughlin?
No. They both miss out on the top seven. One is a Rangers player, one is not. And he didn't play for Aston Villa either.
Well, obviously, I don't know any players that played over there.
You don't know any Scottish players that played for Al Etifak?
No.
And currently still play for Al Etifak and played for Scotland on Sunday night?
Oh, so the half. Hendry.
Jack Hendry.
McKenna.
Oh, come on.
I meant to say
One more to get.
Right.
Steven Gerrard used him as a central defensive midfielder, I think, at times, but plays as a right wing back in the English Championship now.
Oh, I know who that is and I can't get his name.
I mean, you mentioned his twin earlier on.
His twin? Oh, McCrory.
Ross McCrory. McCrory. Oh, you said Robbie McCrory, but it is Ross McCrory. Thanks to Gordon DL, Marvin Bartley and you at home. And it is Callum Gallagher that's up next.